We left off somewhere on Zion and Beis. I think we left off around 15 lines from the bottom. The Gemara quotes the pasuk in Vorm chapter Aleph. Atzaveh shavtechem bo'is ahi le'mor. What did Moshe Rabbeinu instruct for Atzaveh? Rashi quotes from the Gemara, ain loshen tzaveh l'loshen zirus. What do you have to be mezarza? Tell me dinim, they should judge honestly, to be fair, not to favor one baldin against the other. For that, they shouldn't use the verb vatsava. Somehow the Gemara is where Rashi interprets the Gemara is concerned about the verb vatsava, the choice of that verb. Rabbi Yochanan kenegin makel uritzua. What does mean kenegin makel uritzua to hey zoris? What should you be zoris? A Tosfos says shalala hatal emalat zibur yosem idai. Power corrupts. So if a dayan is appointed, remember Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush said he remembers as a young child his mother would send him with a chicken that had a shiloh. Well, it was a trade, she would send him to one of the rabbanim in the neighborhood. So he would wait to hear the psak from the dayan. So he said as a young child it impressed him. The dayan has in his power to say nevela, trefa, whatever he says goes. He can make a trefa. The dayan was nice and he said kosher. He said as a child that was his impression. The dayan can't say whatever he non pleases. Dayan has to say what it says in Yeridaya. But he says he's empowered, and if he doesn't like you, next time he can say that it's trefa. He said just say arbitrarily trefa. The dintara also, the dayan can decide whatever he wants. So power can corrupt. So the dayanim have to be careful. They have the right to use makel ritzua to force people to follow their psak, but they shouldn't use it. Yosem idai. They shouldn't use it in excess, because then it's they're becoming corrupt. The Gemara says in the first paragraph in Chagiga, based on a pasuk in Dovya, Kadosh Baruch Hu sheds 3 tears every day. Not necessarily to be taken literally. He doesn't have eyes, he doesn't tear, but he's heartbroken. Also not to be taken literally. He's heartbroken, and he's very sad about the fact that the three tragedies happened in the world. One is a person who's cut out for learning who goes into a secular field. One is a person who's not cut out for learning who goes into the field of learning, or rebbes and rabbanis. There are people who are just not cut out for that. In other words, misplaced persons. Person goes into the wrong field in life. It's a tragedy. It's terrible. And those are two of the three tears that are shed. And then the third tear is the parnas hamizgo alat zibur. A person was appointed Rosh HaKol, or is appointed a dayan, appointed to a position of power, and power can sometimes corrupt him. And then he uses his position of authority for his own purposes. Everybody should be karei mishtachvet to him. So the Gemara somehow sees that that's what Atzaveh Shavtech V'Yisei Lamar Shemoyah Ben Achechem Shvatetem Tzedek. So the Gemara is concerned you shouldn't use the verb Atzaveh. So you shouldn't use the word Tzibui. Ain Loshin Tzibui L'Loshin Zeros. So what's the Zeros? Kanekem Makor Ritzua Tehizor is you have to be careful not to use it in excess, not to use your power in excess, that the power shouldn't corrupt. Unfortunately, there are a lot of Rabbonim in shuls whose position went to their heads, and also the power corrupted them, and they used their position as a rabbi in a very improper fashion. That's terrible. So that's a special pasuk. Atzaveh shavtechem, not the power. You should be careful. The power shouldn't corrupt you. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu tell? Atzaveh shavtechem, shomer ben achechem ushvatetem tzedek. What does it mean? Shomer ben achechem means that both bali dinim should be present. Reuben and Shimon have a machlokes and dinim amenas. So you should listen when both are present. The dayan shouldn't listen to Reuben unless in the presence of Shimon, because Reuben is going to present his version of the story, so the dayan is going to make up his mind. He sounds like he's right. Yeah, but I'll reserve final judgment until I hear from Shimon. But I already have in his mind, he already put a bug in his head that his version of the story is more correct. So he's not going to pay attention when Shimon says everything is a punk parquet. So you're not allowed to listen. And it's also an Azhara, Shomer Be'achech, Va'atzaveh Shavtechem, Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Shoftim, the Dayanim, Shomer Be'achem, you shouldn't listen to one Baldin without the other one. Where do you see that there's an Issa for the Baldin that he shouldn't present it? Va'atzaveh the Baldin also, Shaliatim, Devar of the Dayan, Kadosh Yahweh Baldin Chaver, he shouldn't try to present it to the Dayan, not in the presence of the Elohim. Where do you see that? The Pasuk says, Vatzabe Shavtechem Shambai Ben Achechem. Where do you see that there's an Iser on the Baldin? Kri Beinami Shamoya Ben Achechem. What do you mean? The word Shamoya should be spelled Shin Mem Vav Ayin. Is it spelled like that? We have a Chumash. I think it's spelled without a Vav. I think it's spelled without a Vav. The Rashash, I think, points out. I think the word Shamoya is spelled without a Vav. So it's like a Kri and a Ksiv, like a Shem La Mikra, a Shem La Masoris, I think. So the Gemara is darshaning the Ksiv. I think that's what he says. I think in the Chumash, the word Shamaya is spelled without a Vav. Right. That's what the Rashash points out. The word Shamaya is spelled in Chumash, Vayikra, Devarim, chapter Aleph, spelled without a Vav. So according to the Ksiv, you read it as if it says Shema Ben Achechem, Hashma. You should, the Baldin should only present his case. Shamaya goes on the die, he should only listen when it's Ben Achechem. And Shema means Hashma. You should only present your case. Asar le Baldin shaliyatim dvar with the dying Hashem, because Kri Beinami Shema Ben Achechem. You should only present your case. Shouldn't even try to present your case unless the other Baldin is there. Avkana says the exact same thing, but not based on that pasuk Shamaya Ben Achechem. Shamaya Shema Ben Achechem means it's both prepared, based on a different pasuk. A pasuk in Shmos. What does it say? Lasisa Shem Ashov. Difficult pasuk. Lasisa Shem Ashov. Very difficult pasuk. What does it mean? So he says one of the levels of different levels of interpretation in that pasuk. So one level is Lasisa Shem Ashov. The dayan shouldn't be mekabel. I think one level of interpretation, you shouldn't listen to Lashon Hara. Lasis Hashem, you shouldn't be mekabel Lashon Hara. Shem Ashov, an improper presentation. And the other pshat is Lasis Hashem Shov. The Dayan shouldn't accept, Dayan shouldn't listen to one Baldin's presentation of his case. So that's Lasis, so you shouldn't accept it. Where do you see that there's an Iser on the Baldin, he shouldn't present it? So even though it says Lasis, so that's the Ksiv, but you can interpret also Losasi, that the Baldin shouldn't present his case, Shem Ashav, shouldn't present a version of his case, which is improper. It's improper because the other Baldin is not present. Okay. The same thing as Reb Chanina said. Reb Chanina said it based on the Pasuk in Dvarim chapter Aleph. He says, then it says, Shvatet had said, you should give a just judgment. What do you mean a just judgment? Fair. What do you mean fair? Whatever the din is, that's going to be Shvatet him said it. So Reish Lakish says, Tzarik es hadin v'achar kach, what in the world does that mean? Very unclear. So the Marsho has a pshat, and the Rashash is not happy, so he gives his own pshat. They're both interesting pshat. The Marsho says, Tzarek HaSadin is referring back to the whole sugya pshara that we had. We had pshara line on Vavim and Beis going the whole halfway down Zainam and Aleph. So one of the drushes in the Gemara was halfway down, right in the middle of Vavim and Beis, Vayi David Osa Mishput Dzdoka. How could it be mishpat the tzedakah? Mishpat is whatever the din is, and it may turn out to be unfair. Kamak m'sheish mishpat ain't tzedakah. Kamak m'sheish tzedakah ain't mishpat. What's mishpat sheish but tzedakah? That's a psak din of bitzua. That's a pshara. It's a psak of lefnei mishura sedin. What does Yosha dictate? So the Masha thinks maybe that's what it means. Tzadeik is hadin. You should first attempt, the dayan should always first suggest that they should go for pshara. Tzadeik is hadin, tzedakah. But if you started a holding Torah, and then you're at the Yodel Hechan Adin Noite, then you're not allowed to suggest Pshara then. So, if originally they didn't go for Pshara, and you're holding already after Haskolas Adin, so then Chatcheu, then you have to give the Psak, even though it's not going to come out to be fair. Even though it's not going to be a Pshara, it won't be a Psak of Yosha, it'll be a Psak of Yikab Adin Sahar. That's how the Marsho suggests. A little difficult. The Maharsha himself realized that what's it doing over here? We ready? It should have been over there when they said mishpat tzedakah. If it's based on that idea, mishpat means a din and tzedakah means pshara, so they should have quoted Reish Lakish over there. So the Rashash thinks that it means a different thing. This happens all the time. What the Rashash said. Interesting. Rashash was not a dayan. He was the Rosh HaKol. He was very wealthy balabas. He was successful, a businessman. But he understood. A lot of times you have a case comes up. A shaila in kashrus, a shaila in hilchos shabbos, a shaila in din Torah. And in Shulchan Aruch, this case is mentioned, exactly, this case. But I don't really understand the din in Shulchan Aruch, because it doesn't fit in with the other din that we know. But this said Beferish. Said Beferish that it's also. Said Beferish that Reuven is chai. So he says, you shouldn't paskin the din if you don't fully understand why it's so. If you have kashas against the din, first tzadeka sadin, first justify why the din is so. For years you've had a kasha, how can it be? It says Beferish and the Gemara is not so. So first you have to farem for your kashas, because it may well be, it seems to be exactly the same case as what came up, but it could be if you'd understand the reason for the din, you might understand that there's a slight difference in the case, and over here the din is not so. So first you have to justify the din that says on the books, and then you have a right to apply it. You have the right to apply a din, even though it's black and white, if you don't really understand it. If you have kashas against it, and maybe then under your circumstances it then doesn't apply. It's an interesting comment that he said. Sareka Sadin, first justify the din from the kashas, from the steers that you have from other halachas, then you have a right to apply the din. Otherwise you may be applying incorrectly. So it says the Shvatat and Tzedek bein ish ubein ochiv, between a man and his brother. A din Torah is always a man and his brother. Din Torah is two people in business. They had it's not a man and his brother. So the Gemara says Benisha Menachem means the father died and he left the Yerusha, and they're trying to divide the Yerusha. So what's the issue of Benisha Ben Achiv? So let's say the father left two homes. So the father left Bais Vali, and one home is worth $500,000. One home is worth $750,000. So I'll say Shain, he has a larger family than him, so give him the larger house that's worth $750,000. He has a smaller family, give him the house that's worth the smaller house worth $500,000. But no, Maraman, that'll be the Chalukah. No, that's not fair. If one house is worth, they're both brothers, nobody's pishnaim, there's no b'chor, let's say the daughter is the oldest, and the father didn't provide to give the daughter anything, so each one gets 50-50. So you don't give him a house that's bigger because it makes sense, he has a big family, he has a smaller family. No, if his house is worth $750,000, it's worth $500,000, so he has to pay him some money to make sure that it's even. His house is worth $250,000 more than his, so he has to pay him $850,000. That should be an equal distribution. So the pasuk means that you need a bezdin to make a shuma. Benisha benochiv, Rashi said. Benisha benochiv means, Rashi, the second wide line. Naflam bais birusha. Two brothers got a Yerusha, not in a business deal. They got a Yerusha, so you need a bezdin to make a shuma for halukas hayorshim. That's what it means. You need a bezdin to make a shuma. Not only do you need a bezdin to paskin halachas, you need a bezdin to make the shuma sadayam. Just as say, can't just say, he gets a house, he gets a house, showing that's it. No, it's obvious that this house is worth more than the other. So you have to have a bezdin to make the shuma appropriately, to make sure that they're dividing it properly. Sometimes it means another Jew, yeah, but you have to have a mishpat tzedek, even if one party is a Jew, one party is a non-Jew. Maybe that's why it's difficult. Why are you only Benisha Ben Ochiv if they're both Jewish? If one is a non-Jew, also you have to give a mishpat tzedek. I remember once I happened to be in Toronto for the rabbinic alumni, so there was a session there. So they were talking about the local Besdin in Toronto, where Rabbanim from the RCA, that has such a good reputation. Non-Jewish people come to the Besdin. Both parties are non-Jewish. They come to the Besdin because they know that they'll get an honest psak and they won't have to wait forever. If you go to court, you have to wait a half a year, and it costs you a fortune for lawyers. And over here, if you go to the Jewish Besdin, they know that they'll get a session very soon, and they'll get an honest psak. You won't have a shikar, a judge. You have two honest Rabbanim. In Europe, that was Yodua also. The Batidinim was so respected by the Goyim in the city. The Goyim used to come for cases. Well, both parties were Goyim. They would come to the Dayan. They knew they would get an honest judgment. Maybe that's what prompts him. Maybe that's what motivates him to say, why is only Benisha Ben Ochiv? Why are you only both are Jewish? If one is a non-Jew, it's also Shvatat and Tzedek. So he says, no, it goes on to Yerusha. That even the Shuma, that's what Rav Soloveitchik learned, the Shuma has to be made by a Bezin. Shouldn't just say the Bezin will paskin and they'll ask an accountant to make the Shuma. They'll ask an expert. No, you should have a Shuma of three people, three Jewish people, to make the Shuma Sadayot.
The din is sometimes different when a non-Jew and a Jew come to Bezin.
The Gemara says in the end of Bava Kama, if the non-Jew is an Oibed Avodah Zorah, If the non-Jew is an Eved Avodah Zarah, then we're going out to get him. That's how the Rambam interprets in that Gemara. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. So if he's an Eved Avodah Zarah, so one is Jewish, one is an Eved Avodah Zarah. So the din should be, whenever both parties are Jewish, we follow Choshen Mishpat. We don't follow Din of the Machusa. Whenever one of the parties, or both of the parties, are non-Jews, then we follow Din of the Machusa. So the Bezna has to paskin based on Din of the Machusa. So if one of them is a Nochri, Oibed Avodah Zarah, then we're going out to get him, so we want to be mops at him, because he doesn't deserve anything, because he's Oibed Avodah Zarah. So if you can be Mizak the Yehudi, based on Din of Yisrael, so we paskin according to Din of Yisrael. If you can Mizak the Yehudi, based on Din of the Machusa, then we paskin based on Din of the Machusa. If the Nochri is not an Oibed Avodah Zarah, then we paskin based on Din of the Machusa. That's what the Din should be.
We consider those going from not really Oibed Avodah Zarah. In that sense, I mean,
some of them are Rabbi Avodah Zarah, some of them not. The Christians are Rabbi Avodah Zarah. They pray to Osa Huish, that's outright Avodah Zarah. Maybe they don't believe in him. Okay, the Galachim, most of the Galachim don't believe in him either, but the Lamai said they're worshipping Avodah Zarah. If they're Muslims, they're not Rabbi Avodah Zarah. Muslim.
On the very bottom of Lamed Aleph Beis, Rashi doesn't Rashi seem to imply that you do actually require, you don't actually require that on him.
If he left the Tzavua, he says, I want the English books. My father died, he left, said, all the Svarim belong to me, and all the English books go to my sister. So you don't need a din Torah. He said, well, the English books go to my sister. I got nothing, because my nephew doesn't want me to take any. But the din is that if the person left the tzava before he died, so there's nothing to go to a din Torah about. So I'll get this farm, and my sister will get the English books. Okay. Kol echad yachzik b'shalom. You don't need a bezna for that. But here, father died, he didn't leave any tzavua. So that no one is a pchor, so they're supposed to get 50-50. So he shouldn't say it's 50-50. He has a home that accommodates his large family. He has a home that accommodates his small family. That's not fair. It has to be 50-50 in the Shavuos, not 50-50. Each one should get a home. So if one of them gets the more valuable home, you have to even it out. The Dummim, you have to pay the differential. The Gemara says in Yesh Nechem, when they divided Eretz on the days of Yishuv Ben Nun, so some of the people got closer to Yerushalayim, some of the people got way further away from Yerushalayim. So they have to, they, ultimately they're going to be oil or regal. Those who are going to live further away from the Yerushalayim, their real estate is worth less. It's not worthless, but it's worth less than the real estate that's closer to Yerushalayim. 3 times a year they have to travel to Yerushalayim. So the Gemara says, those who got closer to Yerushalayim had to get smaller places, that it should be equal in value. Those who live further away, their real estate was worth less. They had to get bigger estates, had to get bigger karka. And if they got smaller, the same size, those who live closer to Yerushalayim had to be mash for them, had to make it even by giving them money. That's what the Gemara says in Yesh Nechem. That's what Rashi says here. If you have a chaluke of he takes one house and he takes the ali, he takes the other house, and one is worth more than the other, then you have to make it shavah b'shavah by, you have to make a shuma, how much is it worth, and you have to even it out by paying the supplement.
Why would
we
thought otherwise? Why should this be different?
I would have thought that the Shuma doesn't need a bezin. You need a bezin to paskin shailas, but to assess the value, you ask a real estate agent, how much is it worth? So it says, no, you need 3 religious real estate agents. They should constitute a bezin and give a Shuma sadayan. You need, Shuma also needs a bezin.
So basically, can't contract out and then review it and all of that?
They should contract out. They don't know real estate. They know Choshen Mishpat. So they should ask 3 religious people in real estate field. The Dayanim and the Din Torah don't always have to be Rabbanim. A lot of times now, it's best to have businessmen on the Din Torah. You get religious businessmen who like to learn Daf Yomi. They're not. They don't know Choshen Mishpat. So let them paskin on the Din Torah. And if they'll have a Shaila, they'll ask Rabbanim what the Din is. But it's best to have businessmen, because they'll have a better appreciation of what the case is a lot of times. They'll understand better. A lot of times Rabbanim will think, the guy's a ganef. How can I? And business someone say, what do you mean? Everybody does that. That's not a ganef. That's mekubal. Sometimes it's better not to have Rabbanim. Sometimes it's better to have businessmen. So that's the first comment. Benisha Benochel goes on Yerusha. Rab Yudah, afilu bein bayis la'aliyah. If one gets a bayis, one gets an aliyah, but the bayis is more valuable than the aliyah. So he has to make shavu b'shavu, he has to pay money. What's a bein geiro? Bein geiro. What does that mean? Rav Yehuda, he has a comment. Geiro means megorim. Megorim means furniture. We're going to divide up the furniture. So the father died and he left the whole apartment with a lot of furniture. So I'll give you, one brother gets five chairs, one brother gets five chairs. But these chairs are more valuable than the other chairs. And one is a Tana, one is Kirayim. So the Tana is more valuable than the Kirayim. The Kira is smaller, the Tana is bigger. So you don't say, well, he has an oven, he has an oven, he has five chairs, he has five chairs. But I'm Aramid, that's it. No, that's not fair. You have to make a Shuma. Again, you need the Shuma, not only Bais and Aliyah, Even the furniture, which is less of a discrepancy. Bais and aliyah could be $250,000 difference between them. Even the furniture, which is hundreds of dollars difference, not hundreds of thousands of dollars. Also, you have to have a shumas adayanim and everything. Los hakira panim ba mishpat. What does that mean? I think we must have mentioned the dayanim have to have a tifu. That's the gemara in the first parak of Malchus Shabbos. Out of kabbalah shchina, the king needs a badaskel. The shchina shuri, when you have an honest to goodness bed, there'll be hashvas hashchina. So some tzaddikim had the midas chasidus practice of wearing a talus over their head, over their eyes, so they shouldn't look at the baladin. Why lo sakir panim shouldn't see? Because also listakel b'fnei adam rasha. And the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Bezman shebaladinim ram nufanach yebanach kerushoyim." And then, kishen niftarim elufanach, when they leave, yebanach kitzadikim shekibul aleim esadin. If they accepted the psak of the dayan, he should treat them both with respect because they're both tzadikim. So some had such a midas chasidus. Also, this takel b'fnei adam rasha kshabosh shebaladinim ram nufanach yebanach kerushoyim. So you're not allowed to look at them. So they said, that's the pshat, v'asakir upon him, you're not allowed to look at them. You shouldn't recognize who's who, because you're benecha kirishon. So the pashta says that's not proper. That vertel, that practice is not proper, because you have to listen to the baladinim and look at the body language to see, does he look like he's telling the truth, or does he look like he's frightened, and he's making up a lie? And you have to ask a lot of questions. You have to look at the way he says it, does in his eyes, and his mouth, and his facial expressions, there's body language. So that's not proper. So the Gemara wants to know, what does it mean, L'sakir upanim amish? What does it mean? So the Gemara says, L'sakir can be Miloshen Hakore. I shouldn't, Animakir. Oh, I recognize him. He's much more religious than him. He's a bigger tzaddik than him. He's a bigger friend. He's a friend of mine. The other guy is a stranger. So L'sakir upanim, you shouldn't be Makir. L'sakirehu. Rabbi Yudayim, L'sakirehu. Don't favor one over the other because he's a better friend of mine, because he's more religious, more learned. You shouldn't treat a person as a nachri. He's a stranger. So I'm not gonna treat him nicely. Thing I said over, that here once in Breuers, they used to have every Purim, they used to have a big Purim spiel. So they once had, at one point in their history, they hired a chassidish adayim. These yekis that have none to chassidim. So they hired a dayim with long pace. So he usually rolls up his pace and puts it under his yarmulke. So they put on a whole spiel. I'm putting the way the balabatim, the board, is interviewing the dayan to see if he's a good candidate to be a dayan for them. So they ask him, what do you do if you have a din Torah between a yeke and a non-yeke? What's the din? So he said, what do you mean, what's the din? It depends what they say. They said, wrong, the yeke wins. And what's the din if it's a din Torah between someone from Frankfurt and someone from Berlin? It depends what they're wrong, the guy from Frankfurt wins. And what if one of them is a member of our shul, one of them is a member of another shul? So he says, again, it depends what they're wrong, the one who's a member of the shul wins. So that's lo sakir upon him, just because he's a friend of mine. Lo tenacharehun. Don't treat the stranger, don't treat the outsider as an outsider. You have to treat them equally. Just because one is more learned than the other doesn't mean that he's telling the truth, he's telling a lie. You have to listen to what they say. You have to read the body language. So the two pshatim boil down to the same thing. Either loshen hakore or loshen nachri, you're not allowed to make up your mind in advance that I'm going to listen to him, I'm going to favor him, or I'm going to disfavor him. That's not permissible. You have to give them both an equal fair chance. Then the Gemara tells a story. At one time, Rav as a guest of a certain balabas, who did a mechesed. He put him up for Shabbos or something like that. So on one occasion, which Bizachne, the host of Rab, also the Kamelinian, he came, he had a din Torah. So he says to Rab, do you remember me? So he says, no, who are you? So he says, you once stayed by me. Oh yeah, thank you very much. Then he says, the reason why I came is, he says, Rab says, so what do you want? He says, I have a din Torah. So Rab says, I can't judge the din Torah for you. The first thing you said when you came was, do you remember me? I once did you a favor. So that's like Shaychad. So I'm not allowed to judge you at the third. That's the story. I'm not allowed to be done for you because it's like Shaychad. So that's the top Taisus says. There's similar Gemaris and Ksubis and Daf Kufay. And Taisus says that all of those are really Mikra Din, it's not Shaychad. Shaychad, if he gave him something, L'shem the Din Torah. Here we invited him 5 years ago when he was single. Rav stayed by him once. He ate a meal by him. So that's called Sheikhad. When he gave him the meal, he didn't have a mind that it's going to be a din Torah. He just reminds him now, I'm identifying. I'm the one that you once stayed by me. So nice. So strictly speaking, it's not called Sheikhad. But as a Midas Chasidus, Marchi Koya Atzmo, it was a Chumrah, Avul Min Adin, Loi Mislam. Yikred Din is not possible, but it's a Midas Chasidus not to serve. And such a not to serve as a diner, such a situation.
I think they might rather tell if someone did do something like that, and he was basically judged unfairly because of that. The Lord Smith. So we see that there's reason to believe that person.
Okay. The dayan should.
If you're right, there's not just a midas chasidus and it's also a good
deal. I don't think so. I think we assume it's a midas chasidus. The dayan, we assume if he's an honest to goodness dayan, we'll be able to judge fairly. Oyevisayne is later on. There's a Mishnah. Oyevisayne is pasalodun. If I'm really an oyev, I'm a very close friend of this person, or I really dislike him very much. I'm a real sayne. So oyevisayne is pasalodun because a dayan has to have a judgment call. So that we're afraid he's gonna he has to make a judgment call. So we're afraid he's pasal. What about edus? Oyevisayne it's a machlokes hatanoim. Whether oyevisayne we paskan oyevisayne is kashal edus. But he's pasul ladan because a dayan has to give judgment. Edus is just going to say what he saw. Enjoy. There's a gemara later. Where is it? Here the Tosis on the test summit base. Tosis, we'll get to there. Tosis dima maskel leritzono roshahu. The Tosis is discussing a gemara in Makis. I'm designed that a horog is pasulatus. When I shoot someone to death, so the murdered man, let's say he's about to die, he's going to testify in court that I shot him and I killed him. So the Gemara says he's pasulatus. Why is he pasulatus? The test is give us one shot because he's a sine. So that's what the Achrenim ask. But we pass on a sine is kosholatus. So the Marshal suggests maybe that's a sine gomer. I say, I don't get along with him. He did me a lot of avlis. But if I murdered him, so then he's a Saini Goma, then he really hates me because he knows he's going to die soon. So maybe even though there's Machlekes Hatanoim in the third parak, but the Saini is Pasolatus and that, maybe a Saini Gomer for sure is Pasolatus. So that's why the Ktais has a suggestion based on that, Marshal. Ktais is on Daftes Semebeis, that when you get married and you want to pick Kosher Edim, you shouldn't pick your best friend. Your best friend maybe has a din of Oyev Gomer. Just like a Soine Gomer may be Pasolatus, according to this Marshal. Maybe Oyev Gomer is also Pasolatus. So you shouldn't, that's on the fourth white line and the third white line. Fishu Pasol Machma She Soine or Aveya. Veina Soine Kamahorug. Horug is a Soine Gomer. That's what the Marshal says in Tess. Okay. Yeah, so we assume Oyev Asayin is Taka Pasol Lodun Medina because he has to make a good judgment call. But just because he did me a Toiv in the past, that doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be such as Oyev Goma. So not an Oyev. Yeah. But as a Midas Chasidis, you shouldn't. So Rab said, I don't want to judge your case. Amalei Rab Labkana. Rab Kana was a Talmud of Rab. He said, Puk Dine. You judge the case, I don't want to judge. Chazye. So this, because this Baba Bas had once had over Rab, he did a Toiv to Rab. And he thought that Rav is going to paskin in his favor. So when Rav gave over the case to Rav Kana, so the Baldin was a wise guy, and he thought it's like a peacock, and he thought they're going to have to paskin in my favor because Rav is going to support me. So Chazir Avkana saw the Habit Kugai's Bay. He's a little too haughty. He's so convinced, the Baldin is so convinced that he's going to come out victorious in this Dintar Amalei. So Rav Kana told the Balabos, look here, behave. Itzaisa, Itzaisa, if you'll behave, listen to the Psak. If not, I'll put you in Chayim. You better listen to the Psak if I pass in against you.
In that case, in Marcos, the fact that he's a Sone is only tolerated on him telling the truth about his Eidos. If he's lying about the Eidos, so then he wouldn't be a Sone. So what's the cash?
Lefidvarav, he's a Sine? Okay. Lefidvarav, he's a Sine. So you can't accept him? If he's a Sine Gomor, even though we pass on either Sine, Lanechshad Yisrael Al Kach, the Mishnah in Machloika, so we pass on Lanechshad Yisrael Al Kach. You're not choshed that a Jew is going to tell Eidos Sheker because he's an Oyver Sine. But if he's a Sine Gomor, then there is a Chashash Meshaker. That's the Shad. Is there ever a Psul Eidos because of a Chashash Meshaker? Is there such a thing? The Torah says people have namonis if they testify. There's no chashash meshaker. So what do you mean? We're going to say, there's a chashash meshaker. Do you have?
Do you have? Where we believe them, we don't believe tzaros to each other, things like that.
Ah, yes. So that, so the Mishnah explains. Yeah, because Meikir Adin, women shouldn't be believed at all. It should be Adav, should be Erva. So you should really need two kashra Eidim. So it's only an emonis mid the rabbanon that were mekel mishum miguna kila be rabbanon that erechod is nemun by meis bail, and once you say erechod is nemun, so the psulim are also nemun. Even a nacher misich lepitum is nemun. Mikradin deraisa the pashta says you need two kosher edim to say meis bail. So it's only a kula mid the rabbanon erechod is good. So once I said erechod is good, memele it treated like erechod and misurim, and even a akum misich lepitum is good. So then he said, but there are limits. If there's a chashash meshaka, then you don't allow it. But let's say you have a case where you need two kosher eidim, and you have two kosher eidim. So then you're going to say there's a chashash meshaka, maybe the person is lying. So we have a din that a nogeh beidusa is not neman. Let's say there's a deter between Reuven and Shimon. And I'm one of the witnesses, and I testify that Reuven is entitled to the money, and if Reuven wins the case, then I'll be able to collect the debt that Reuven owes me. I stand to gain if they're going to pass in the favor of Reuven, and I'm saying the version of the story was from, so the din is in the Mishnayos, and again Beidusoy is posolatus and Chosh Mishpa, but that's a machlokes in the Simon of Nege, it's a machlokes, but the Nege is posolatus because of Chashash Meshaker, and the Nege is posolatus, maybe there's no such thing as Chashash Meshaker, maybe it's because he's considered a Baldin. Maybe since it's Nege to me, maybe I'm considered a Baldin. Maybe that's why I'm posol. The Sachranim hold there's never, they can't have a psulatus based on Chashash Meshaker. There's never Chashash Meshaker. That's how we paskin. Oy v'soyne are only pasul ladun because Dayanim have to give a judgment call. But kosher latus because there's never any Chashash Meshaker. So maybe the psul of Nageya is only based on Baldin. That's a shayla. There's a taisvis in the second parak in Kiddushin, beginning of the second parak in Kiddushin, where taisvis says that a negei beidusai is pasul la'edus, not only in the dintar and dinimaminis, even to serve as edim l'kiyam adover on a kiddushin, on a chasanim. And the negei beidusai is pasul la'edus. Rav Soloveitchik said from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik, if you say negei is pasul because of chashash meshaker, so it's a chashash meshaker. But if you say negei beidusai is pasul la'edus because it's called the baldover by the kiddushin can only be the chasan and the kalam. How can you say that there's another person who's a baldover? And Dini Mominis, he can say to whomever, the one who has to shell out the money is a baldover, the one from who's going to gain the money is a baldover, the one who stands to gain indirectly is also a baldover. You can say three baldover: the malva, the loiva, and the one who's going to gain if the malva collects the money. But by a chasana, edus l'kim adover, how can you say that then again beidusa is considered a baldover? So the Rishonim, some of the Rishonim put a Yerushalmi like that. I think maybe it's a Rashba, maybe it's not a Tet, maybe it's a Rashba. At the beginning of the second parak in English, they quote a Yerushalmi that if the Eid is Nageh Beidusoy, then it's possible Eid is for Eid is Lekiyam Adova. So that's on the assumption that there's such a thing as a Psul Hashash Meshaker Alpi Pashtis. Because a Baldover can't be, and a Chasana, I can't be a Baldover. He's not getting married. Indeed, in Mamnus, you can say the one to whom it's Nageya is considered a Baldover.
Right, but
Why would a chashash b'shaker pass on for a sakim adavar? Chashash b'shakers were afraid that he's going to lie. Edus sakim adavar, the edim are not reporting anything afterwards.
Edus sakim adavar means the kiddushin is covered with a raya's edim. If we'll have a suffix later on, whether they're married, the edim will be able to come to Bezdin and testify. But let's say you have edim, they can't come to Bezdin and testify. So there's no edus lekim adavar. It's not just the din, you have to have two people watching. Two people have to be kosher le'edus, so the kiddushin or the gittin is covered with a raya's edus. So then it can take effect. If it's not covered with a raya's edus, I have to be able to come and testify, and their testimony has to be able to be acceptable. But if you know in advance that the testimony will not be able to be acceptable because he'll be in a ger be'edusa, so it's not covered with a raya's edus, so it's no good. Sometimes you have some rishonim say, if a man gives a get to his wife and the get has two Eidei Chasima on it, so the Rabbeinu Tam says in Taisus and Gittin Dal Alam and Aleph that you always need Eidei Mesira when the husband gives a get to the wife. Eidei Lekim Adovah, you have to have Eidei Mesira for sure. The only Machleg Zameh Rablozer is whether you need Eidei Chasima or not. Eidei Mesira, of course you need. If you have no Eidei Mesira, so there's no Eidei Lekim Adovah. And all the Chachmi Svara disagree. Why? If you have Eidei Chasima, so the Ran gives the following explanation. The Ran on Daf Peivav, the Ran on the Rif, on Daf Peivav and Gittin, gives the following explanation, that if the husband gives the get to the wife and there are two Eidei Chasima on the get, once she holds the get, it's considered as if the Eidim, see, when the Eidim sign a get, what are they testifying to? They're just testifying the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. That's all. Then the husband goes to California, gives the wife the get. The Eidim who signed in New York aren't there when the husband gives the get in California. So how, when the wife holds on to the get, how does that prove that she was Nizgarsha? Because it has two Eidim on the bottom. Two Eidim only testify. We know the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. And he said, sign the get. At the time they signed, all they know is the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. The answer is, if she's holding on to the get, so mistama hakol behechshenas. That's what Tosfos writes there in Gittin, Abdal and Manal. Mistama hakol behechshenas. She probably didn't grab the get from the husband against his wishes. It was probably given properly. So if she's holding on to the get, even though the Eidim at the time that they signed only testified, we know the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. But once she's holding on to the get, and we assume mistama hakol behechshenas, so included in the Haggadah says of the Eidim is that the husband gave the get to the wife properly, so that's considered Eidus L'kim Adov. You know that no one was watching. The husband gave the get to the wife, Beinor L'Beinor, but the giving of the get is covered with a Raya Seidim. Because next week, if there'll be a question whether the husband divorced the wife, she'll produce the get. She has Tfisas Balashtar. The get was intended to be given to her. She's the Balashtar. The husband is the Das HaMeschayit. He has to authorize the writing of the shtar, the writing of the get, and then he has to give it to the wife. She's the balas ha-shtar. Balas ha-shtar is the one on whose behalf the shtar was intended to be given. So once you have tfisas balas ha-shtar, if you write, let's say, when you go to a wedding, so they make a kabbalah's kinyan, the chassan's father, the kala's father, they make a kinyan on a tenoyim, then they sign a tenoyim, then they leave it on the table. So what they waste there, it's an exercise of futility. What do you write a shtar if you don't give it to someone? A shtar doesn't give a haggadah say this unless you give it to the balas ha-shtar. So when you write a tenoyim, you're supposed to write two tenoyim. You're supposed to write one tenoyim, give it to the boy's father, one text, give it to the girl's father. Each one has a raya that if they, usually years ago, they used to write tenoyim when they got engaged. So the tenoyim said, in case the other party backs out, they will accept upon themselves the penalty for embarrassing the kala, for embarrassing the chosn. So each one has to have a raya that they're going to pay if they back out. So they used to write two tenoyim. Now they write the tenoyim right before the chuppah. So the whole thing is nonsense. What are they writing at tenoyim? In case they're going to back out, they're ready to march down the yard. So Moshe Feinstein changed the text at the time. So instead of saying, they're going to get married within the next 9 months, and if either party backs out, they're going to pay a penalty. They're going to get married within an hour. It's not within 9 months. So well, what do you write if anybody backs out? So he changed the text so it says differently. It says, each father makes a statement in the presence of the witnesses that there are no outstanding debts. The mechutin doesn't owe me any money from the engagement party or from anything, and I commit myself to see to it that I marry my daughter off within the next few minutes, within the next hour, and I'll give her clothing and everything like a normal father gives his daughter. So also, so you're giving a shtar, each one has a shtar, that's shtar raya, that the other party said that there are no outstanding obligation. I don't owe the mechutn any money from the engagement party. We'll have to divide the payment for the wedding expenses, but there are no previous obligations. So you should really write two different times. Give one to the girl's father, one to the boy's father. Usually they write one teroim, so it's ridiculous. If you write one, so where's the tefisas balei shtar? Usually they leave it on the table. So what do they waste time to fill out a shtar? So the whole filling out of the shtar, give another kibud. They have two people sign it, and one person read it out loud, and the whole thing is a joke. It's garnish ben garnish. But you already made a shtar, so you should give it to a third party who holds it for both of them. You should give the time. If there's no tefisas balei shtar, it goes in the garbage, so there's no shtar. So what do you waste your time? The more correct is to write two teroim. And then if they only have one, so you should give the one shtar to one party who's going to hold that on behalf of both, a party whom they both trust. Hold the shtar. The halacha doesn't require dafke tvises bala shtar. Let's say the girl holds on to her ksuba. What if she gives the ksuba to her parents? She trusts her parents. They'll hold on to the ksuba. Fine. The girl has somebody hold the ksuba for her. So here both the father of the boy, the father of the girl, have a third party hold on to the time on behalf of both of them. Yeah.
So if we're
going to
say that when the
Edom
sign on it, it's just a riot for later on for the Kiyom, is that a shadow of the PM? So when the Edom sign,
the Ran is explaining the Hach Nisvar. They hold, even if you give the get, may not, but if the get has two Edom signed on it, there are no Edom watching when he gave the get to the wife, but that's called Edus L'Kim Adov. Edus L'Kim Adov doesn't necessarily mean two warm-blooded, warm-bodied people watching. They don't have two people watching. If the giving of the get can be backed up later, if it's covered with Rayas Edim, then it's called Edus L'Kim Adov. So here it's covered with Rayas Edim, then there are no Edom watching when he gives the get. Because when the wife is going to hold on to the get later, so Tosfos says in Gittin Dav Dalan and Alf, we will assume Hakol Behech Shanas. Even though at the time the Edom signed, they were only testifying that the husband expressed an interest in divorcing his wife. They don't even have to go to California. It could be they even died before the husband gave the get to the wife. As long as they signed, and they know that the husband expressed an interest to divorce. So they signed that. And then when she's holding on to the get later, she claims that it was given to her properly, and she didn't. It wasn't klikitach magabi kark for the husband, but puts it on the table and he tells the wife to pick it up. That's no good. You need the nasim biyada. You need an asina. So we assume mistam hakol. So we ask the wife, did the husband give it to you out of his own free will? He says yeah. Then she said. Then we ask her, did he put it on the table? Did he give it to him? She says he gave it to me. So we assume all of this is included in the hagodah sedus of the get mistam hakol behech shenasa. So the fact that the mesiras haget is covered with arayas sedim, even though they weren't standing there. The Edom signed the get in New York, and the husband, 2 months later, goes to California, gives the get to his wife. The giving of the get is covered with the Rais Edom. That's called Eidus L'Kiyum Adov. So if they're Noigim Be'edusam, so the Mesiras HaGet will not be able to be covered with Rais Edom. If they come to Bezin later on and testify, Bezin won't accept the Haggadah Sedus. Eidus L'Kiyum Adov, it doesn't mean there are two people, two kosher Edom watching. It doesn't help watching. It means the two Edom and the Kiddushin or the Get is backed up with Arayas Edom. So if the Edom will be Pasal Edom, so it's not covered with Arayas Edom. So it's not called Edom L'Kiyum Adov. Fine. Then Moshe Rabbeinu instructs the Dayanim. It's interesting. Parsha's Dvarim, the whole thrust of the whole Parsha is they should go conquer Eretz Yisrael and take over, and they should all move to Eretz Yisrael. And in the middle of the parsha, you have about Hamadas Adayonim. It doesn't fit in there. What's Hamadas Adayonim? So Rav Soloveitchik said over the Meforshim say, when we daven every day in the weekday Shmoneh Esrei, we say, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should do Kibbutz Goliath. So right after Kibbutz Goliath, the next bracha should be Yishalayim Micha Berachmim Toshuv. So the Shechina should be turned to Yishalayim, and then it's Temach Tovet Avdecha, bring the Melech HaMashiach. The Jews will return back to Eretz HaMakabas Nitcham Yisrael. The Shechina should come back, and then we should have a Melech on the Malchit Beis David. How come you have so many other brachas in between? So the Gemara Megillah, at the beginning of the second pair, explains the Seder of the brachas. There's a specific Seder. The Gemara says the brachas hem tois ein lahem seder. Gemara and brachas. Rashi says a bit of yeah, but if you said the brachas out of order, you're not yotze. We don't pass like Rashi, we pass like Tosas. The brachas on, the seder of the brachas is miyakev. If you say the brachas in the middle of the Shemana Esrei out of order, you're not yotze. You have to say over again. So what does it mean, brachas am toys, ain lam seder, means a different thing. Let's say if a person made a mistake in the middle bracha and the Shemana, if a person made a mistake in one of the three brachas, and one of the last three brachas, and the Shemana Esrei, I treat all the three gimel, rishonim, gimel, achronim, as one unit. So if you made a mistake in one of them, you left out a crucial line, you have to go back to the beginning of the whole unit. You have to go back to the beginning of the three brachas, you have to go back to the beginning of Itzei, Hashem, Kamen, Afchis, all of the Sfilosim. Because the gimel, rishonim, is a unit, the gimel, achronim, is a unit. The brachas hamtzoyis, the 13 brachas in the middle, used to be 12, and now it's 13, so you have 19 brachas in the Shemana Esrei, right? So the 13 brachas in the middle, ein lahem seder, doesn't mean that the seder is not meyakev. But you don't have to go back. If he made a mistake, he left something out, you have to go back to atachoinen. You have to go back to the very beginning. Go back to that bracha where you made the mistake, and you start from there on. But the seder is meyakev. So the Gemara explains, the seder is based on psukim in Tanakh. So the Gemara says there, why do you, after saying Hashivish after saying Tkabisha forgot the Khabisain and Mikabis Nitchama Yisrael, so the Gemara asked that, why don't you go right away to Yerushalayim Mircha Barach Min Toshu? The answer is, when the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, they'll only be successful in Binyan Eretz Yisrael if you have Hamadas Dayonim in a proper fashion. If you have crooked dayanim, crooked batidinim, we won't have any geula. So right after we say the kabbis din chayam Yisrael, the kabbis of God, the kabbis din kibbutz Goliath, the Gemara calls that the brach of kibbutz Goliath. You have to have Hashivu shavtenik kibarishayna. You have to pray to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. We should have hamodas dayanim, proper dayanim. If you're not going to have proper dayanim, so it's not going to lead to Yerushalayim Mircha Barachim Toshim, and it's not going to lead to Snemach Tovir Abedchon. So that's based on the psukim in Novi, like that, the Gemara quotes, and it's based on the psukim in Parshas Dvarim, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the whole thrust of the drasha that he gives right before he's about to die, about kibush Eretz Yisrael, they should go conquer Eretz Yisrael, chase out all the zaynumis and so on. Then in the middle, he puts in the hamodos adayanim. What is he giving all the history? What is irrelevant? He's talking about kibush Eretz Yisrael. The answer is, if you're not going to have hamodos proper dayanim, then the whole kibush Eretz Yisrael is not going to work. So that's what the Gemara is quoting from that section, from the Hamodas Dayanim. So Moshe Rabbeinu instructs him, Ka koton ka godo tishma'un. What does it mean? Whether the person is a Pashib Shat, whether the person is a nobody, the Baldin is a plain person, or he's a big Adam Gadol, you should listen to all the cases. Of course, that's Lo Sakir upon him by Mishpat, just because he's more important than him. Ani Makiroto, he's the president of the Gila, he's a rabbi, he's a tzaddik, and the other one is a nobody. You're not allowed to judge based on their profile. You're not allowed to profile them. Oh, he's a gadol, so therefore I should favor him. You're not allowed to. So he said that already. So what does it mean? Kagadol kakotn kagadol tishma doesn't go on the people, it goes on the din Torah. Amar Shlom Shehei Chaviv Alecha din shel pruta yedin shel me'amana. Kot means a small din Torah, only deals with a nickel, and gadol means a big din Torah, that they're dealing with $20 billion. You should treat them both equally. Then again, to what should you treat them both equally? Frag the Gemara, lemai hilchasa, with respect to what does it mean? E lema, if I should say, le'i yunei bei, umipsikei, you should look up the din. Don't guess. A din Torah by a nickel, you better look it up and paskin honestly. Pshita, you need Moshe Rabbeinu to tell you that. He's supposed to give an honest psak whether you're dealing with $20 billion or dealing with a nickel. And what it means is lakdume, that what? There are rules and regulations about how to fulfill mitzvahs. Let's say I have to do mitzvah A and mitzvah B. As far as I'm concerned, I could do A, B or B, A. It doesn't make a difference. And I have the opportunity to do both. So we have the Mishnah in Perikol HaTadir in Zvachim Daf Peites. The parak begins Kol HaTadir Machaveh Karim Lachaveh Tadir B'Shen Tadir Karim. Then it says Mekudesh Veni Mekudesh Mekudesh Karim. You do the more important mitzvah. Let's say the Kohen is standing in the Azorah, he has the big dekuna, and he says, whoever wants, I'm ready to be Makar Kabbalah. So two Balabatim come at the same time. One has an Oila, which is Kachi Kach. One has a Shlamim, which is Kachim Kalim. So the Kachi Kachim is more important than the Kachim Kalim. So if they come simultaneously, so you take care of the Mekudesh first, and then the Eina Mekudesh. But what if first the Balabos comes with the Karpish Lamin, And then he says, okay, I'll take care of the shlam. Then another balabas comes with the kochim kalim afterwards. So that's emavir and ala mitzvahs. If he already gave me the charge, the responsibility to take care of a mitzvah, to be makar of the korban kochim kalim, I can't say, oh, let me take care of the more important mitzvah later. No. Lagdumik, whichever, that's emavir and ala mitzvahs. The mitzvah that it became obligated to fulfill first, that's the one I do first. There's a machlokes bisham and bisil when you recite Kiddush, the Mishnah Brachas and Mishnah Psachim, when you recite Kiddush, so bisil, we follow bisil, we say first bar piagof, and then you say Kiddush. And bisham and hold, they first say Kiddush, and then you say bar piagof afterwards. So why time of the bishamai? Why did he say you say Kiddush first, then you say bar piagof afterwards? So the Gemara says, because when Shabbos enters, you become mechuyev to recite Kiddush. You don't become mechuyev to recite Bar Piagofen until a cup of wine is in front of you on the table. In Atari, you don't need alayayin. That's only that chuyev alayayin comes later. So since you became obligated to recite the Kiddush before you became obligated to recite the Bar Piagofen, so that's called emavir and ala mitzvah. So you do first the mitzvah you became obligated in first, then you do the second mitzvah later. So that's what the Gemara says over here. Ela lagdume. First came a dintar of a nickel, and I say, okay, let me get a Shulchan Aruch, you sit down, we're going to start a dintar. And then someone comes with a big dintar of $20 billion. So the din is, Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvah. Since I already became obligated to take care of the dintar of a nickel, so it should be Chaviv Alacha, Din Shal Pruti, Kedin Shal Me'amoneh. I have to take care of first the mitzvah that I became obligated to do first. I have to take care of first. I shouldn't say the other mitzvah is so much more important. I should take care of the bigger. It's not a bigger. It's a bigger than Torah. It's more money involved, but it's the same level of a mitzvah. It's not a bigger mitzvah.
Isn't it pasha that Eim Avir and Ala Mitzvahs? That once you start a mitzvah, you can't go into Zinah.
But one might have thought that the other mitzvah is a billion times more important than this one. So maybe it should be mafsik. So that's what he said. It should be shavu beinecha. It's not considered a bigger mitzvah.
But even if it was a bigger mitzvah, it wouldn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so good to kasha. Even if it would have been a bigger mitzvah, it wouldn't matter. It's a good kasha. I don't know. Yeah. They say that Rav Kook used to have a waiting room in his home, people came to talk to him. So he would come into the way. So first come, first serve. Rabbi came first. Then he would come in the waiting room. So if he saw that a Tamachachan came, the others are Balabat, Tamachachan came, he would be mocked him in the Tamachachan, even though he came last. So every time he walked into the waiting room, he'd have a gift, have to make a whole calculation. Who's next? After whole. So it was based on halachas. You gotta know what the halachas, lagdume. Who has the schus to speak to him first? Should look in the biographies as they write how he made all the calculations. La sagur mipnei yish that we had before. La sachnis devarach mipnei yish. Okay. Oger b'kais lacha. La sagur means lishne dechanushi, to hold back. Kamishpud lelekim hu. What do you mean? Mishpud lelekim? You're paskening against God. If you're going to pasken improperly, you're going to be mafsid the Rabban Shalom. What do you mean the mafsid the Rabban Shalom? The Rabban Shalom is going to have to stand on his head to make good. The Rabban Shalom is goyzim in Hashemayim and Tishrei. The Gemara says in Beitza, the beginning of the second parak, in the month of Tishrei, the goyzim how much money, how much parnasa the person should make. So if the Dayan is going to paskin improperly that Reuven should give $1,000 to Shimon, the Rabban Shalom has to stand on his head now, see to it that Reuven gets back that $1,000 because it was nigzar and Rosh Hashanah. He should get that amount of money. So whenever you paskin improperly, you're matriach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gamish b'lalakim, you're judging against the Rabban Shalom. Amar Abchama, Rab Chanina, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, lo dayan, lo maspik, it's not bad enough, l'rishayim shaloi kol mizem momen, os nozeh, shaloi kedin, if the dayan is a faker, then he's a Russia, he's taking money, giving it from Reuven to Shimon, shaloi kedin, I'm going to have to stand on my head, see to it that Reuven gets back his $1,000. So you should paskin properly because Hamish b'lalakim. One of the baladinim here is the Rabban Shalom, he's going to have to make good. Then Moshe Rabbeinu says, and if you have a difficult in Torah, just bring it to me and I'll take care of it. So it sounds like he's bringing, I know how to solve all the problems. You're not so smart. Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, but over here he made a statement that smacks from arrogance. He said, whatever is difficult, bring to me. Shenemar, Moshe Rabbeinu was punished. He talks like a knacker. If you have a difficult din, you don't know the din, so come to me and I'll tell the psak. So what happened? But Isilavchit came with the shah. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer. By Yakar Moshe, Mishpatan, Lefnei Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the answer. He had to ask the Rabban Shalom. So he was nenash. He was punished because of his arrogant statement. Freg the Gemara, Maskev, Anachem, by Yitzchak, he says, what do you mean a punishment? He didn't say, I know everything, whatever you don't know, come to me. He says, Miksiv, Ashmi, Achem. Vadavishikshmikem, come to me, and I'll give you the answer. He didn't say that. Ushmativ, and I will listen. If I'll know the din, I'll know the din. If I won't know the din, I'll ask the Rabban Shalom. He didn't overstep his bounds. He didn't make a statement of arrogance. Ushmatim ksiv. I'll listen. Igmirna gemirna. If I'll know the din, I'll be happy to tell you. V'iloi azilna gemirna. I'll go ask the Rabban Shalom. It wasn't an act of arrogance. Ataka. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished that he didn't know the din? V'ayak Moshe is mishpatan lefnei Hashem. Haka Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the din. The answer is Rabban Shalom never told him the din in the first place. That's why he had to ask him. So why was that? How come? If the Rebbe Shlom told all the din to Moshe Rabbeinu in the 40 days on Har Sinai, 40 days and 40 nights, so the Ramban writes in the Hagdamah to Chumash that it's clear that some din in Pesach Sheni was not told to Moshe Rabbeinu. And Yerusha, that all the laws of Yerusha were not told. And the dinim the Mekoshish and the Begadif, there's some dinim that it says in the Chumash were not told to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So how come they were taka not told? Everything worked in Tanya. Moshe Feinstein has Shalosh Tshuva Zigris Moshe. So he has, at the beginning of every letter, he writes most of the time and says, to whom the letter was written. So those people went down in history for posterity. He's the one who asked the Shaila to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein. Moshe wrote him an answer, L'chvod Yedidi, Akiri, whatever, L'chvod HaRav HaGoyin, L'chvod HaRav. They went down in history. Not only Rabbi Moshe went down, the Shoyl also went down. Other Rabbanim printed Shalosh Tshuva, they don't say who the Tshuva is to. They just write the tshuva. They don't print to whom the tshuva was. So here the Brice says, Kidatani, Ria Parshas Nachla Shitika. Here the Chumash has a Shiloh tshuva, and it says, this Shiloh is presented by the Benois Tzalafchad. So they went down a history for posterity. They were the ones who asked Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't show that they're smart or tzaddikim or anything, but they went down a history. They were the ones who asked the Shiloh, and Moshe Rabbeinu got the answer about the Dinim of Nachlas. Really, how is the Parshas Nachlas? Should have been given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. So how come the Rebbe Shlom didn't give it to him? The parsha of Yerusha was given to Moshe Rabbeinu after the Shaila came up. So they went down in history for posterity. And the same thing, Rui Hoysa parshas. Why didn't the Rebbe Shlom give Moshe Rabbeinu the din, Machal Shabbos, what the Yoinish is? He never gave me. He told me you're not allowed to be Machal Shabbos. Most you must, but he didn't know which one of the Arba Mises. He knew Yodeh Hoya Moshe that the Mikoshish is Chayb Mises. He didn't know which Misa the Arba Mises does. Didn't know which one. So Elosh and his Chayb Mikoshish and Ichtaval Yodo, he should go down in history for posterity as the bad guy, as the Rasha. The Shaila came up because of him, because of the, we don't know what his name is. Shaila came up because of him, and the Psak was given that Machal Shabbos is Beskila. The Lamdach, the moral of the story is that min Hashemayim, sometimes they'll rig the history in such a way. Megagalim schov aydei chayiv, zchus aydei zakai. Sometimes history will be orchestrated min Hashemayim in such a way that the b'nai salavchav were nashim tzadkanya, so they went down in history for posterity as the ones who asked the shayla about Yerusha and the parashas Nachlas was given when upon their shayla. And the Mekoshish went down in history, L'chaypa. He was the one who did the Chilul Shabbos, and because of him, the details were given, what Oynish Misa you get.
In their opinion that he was doing it Lishma?
Right, Isis and Cheska are there, and Yesh Nachan quotes a Medrash that he did L'shem Shammai.
So would that be against his Gemara?
Could be it is against his Gemara. That's a good point, yeah. Could be it is against the Gemara. Isis quotes a Medrash that he did L'shem Shammai. Because after they were told that they're going to wander around in the Midbar for 40 years and they're all going to die in the Midbar, and they're not going to be zechut to go to Eretz Yisrael. So the people may be lax in observing Shabbos. They were told originally, observe Shabbos and you'll be zechut to get Eretz Yisrael. So if you're told in advance you're going to die, you're all going to die out. So what do we have to keep the mitzvahs for? So he wanted to demonstrate, even though you're not going to be zechut to go to Eretz Yisrael, still have to keep the mitzvahs. So he went out of his way to be meifer nefesh, his mechal Shabbos, knowing they're going to give him the death penalty, in order to be mechazik the shmira Shabbos by the kol. Everyone should know you have to be observing Shabbos even if you're not going to get to go to Eretz Yisrael. The samacharini message should have been a malacha shein tzvicha legufa. Whatever he did, he didn't get hanor from what he did. He just did it to teach a lesson. I think the Marsha talks about that kash. Chayim work on that kash. Yeah, Taisid quotes such a medrash that he did l'shem shemaim. Our Gemara seems to assume that he was megaglam chovag de chayiv, that he was an evil person. Schus al dei zakai. Then you have Moshe Rabbeinu says v'atzavish avtechem v'yiseilim v'atzavish eschem v'yiseilimar. Moshe Rabbeinu gave a tziva to the dayanim. He gave a tziva to the kohol in connection with the dayanim. He instructed the dayanim something about Dina Torah and instructed the tzibur. Which are the two instructions? Amar Rab Lozer, Amar Rab Simloi, he gave hasar le tzibur shete emas adayin aleihem. Have to have the respect for the dayanim. Hasar le dayin sheyizbol asat tzibur. The dayin has to know the tzibur is mukhif to be respectful of him, but the dayin should know even if they're disrespectful, he shouldn't scream and he shouldn't fly off the handle. He should dismiss the case. He should, have a hafsoka for tomorrow. One of the rabbanim wrote in his sefer, as he was running away from the drift in Poland, and he was hiding by Rab Chaim, a Lithuanian, and Brisk, he was hiding in Rab Chaim's basement. So he was there a couple of weeks till he left. So he writes that he once experienced, he was watching a Din Torah, and one of the Baladinim started to curse the Dayanim. Rab Chaim was one of them, started to curse the Dayanim. Rab Chaim said, okay, we're going to finish tomorrow. That's it, the case is dismissed now, we're going to come back tomorrow. So Rab Chaim said, that's the din. So the Dayan Sheyizbal, the Dayan is told, you have to know that the Baladinim are going to get angry if you're going to pass gun against them. So you have to take it calmly. And if someone starts to curse and someone starts to scream, so you have a hafsaka, you take care of it, he'll continue tomorrow, and he'll have a good night's rest. The balabas will calm down, and he'll realize tomorrow that he did a stupid thing yesterday. Sometimes the dayanim stand on their, are so makbid on their covet, so they start screaming back. You're not supposed to scream back, it's a lot of money involved. It's not my money, it's his money, so he wants to scream. So you have to be soivul the baladinim. That's what the Gemara says. Asor le tzibur, sheteim as dayam, asor le dayam, sheizbol asat tzibur, at kama. How much does he have to be soivul? The Gemara says, very much, to the nth degree. Moshe Rabbeinu, they used to curse Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu took everything. Moshe Rabbeinu told them, atzav eschem v'esahi lemar, you have to be soivul le tzibur. You have to know, in a din Torah, the baladinim are going to curse. I once involved in a din Torah. So for years afterwards, the woman who lost the din Torah, they wanted me to pass it all by myself. So the woman who lost the Torah used to call me up on the phone and curse me and send me letters. She left messages on my machine that my children, I still had single children at the house. She passed away already. So for years she would leave messages on the machine. It was a crooked Din Torah. She lost the Din Torah. The husband divorced her. He gave her a settlement. Her husband was extremely multi-billionaire. He left her enough money to take care of everything. When she was married to the husband, she used to give away millions of dollars to tzedakah. So the daughter that she had from the husband yarshened everything from the husband. So she demanded of the daughter should give her millions of dollars every year to give to tzedakah. She had millions of dollars to live. The husband is mechuyev to supply his wife with millions of dollars after he divorces her. She should give millions of dollars to tzedakah. So I said, not mechuyev. So the woman never forgave me. Till the day that she died, she never forgave me. So that's the din. Ashar ledain has to be soibul at tzibur. How far? To the end, at kama. Like you deal with a little baby. You can't get angry at a baby. A baby is a baby. So you can't get angry at the baldin who loses. Always thinks that the mishpat was an avla. Whoever loses in secular court, whoever loses in the Torah, always thinks that the judge must have been drunk. How could he not favor me? And my case was so clear. Not so clear. Then the Gemara says there seems to be a contradiction between the two psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking to Yeshua ben Nun, he's going to take over. So he says to him, Ki atot tovo es ha'om hazeh el ha'oretz. When the Rebbe Shalom gives an instruction to Yeshua ben Nun, he says, Ki atot tovi es b'nei Yisrael. How come Moshe Rabbeinu says, atot tovo es ha'om? And the Rebbe Shalom says, atot tovi es ha'om. Atot tovi es b'nei Yisrael. Why? Amar Rabbi Yechonam Pshat is like, Amar la Moshe Yeshua, atot tovi es ha'om means with the other Rabbanim. You with the other Rabbanim will lead the nation. Tavoy Esa Om Imam. Amla Moshe, the Yeshua, Atova Haskenim Shabidor Imahem. They should all paskin together. But when the Rebbe Shalom told Yeshua ben Nun, Amala Kodesh Bochu, no, Atot Tavi Esa Om, not Tavoy Esa Om, you with the others. Tu Makal Vahachat Kol Kodom, you're the manik, you have to take a stick and bop them over the head, because sometimes you have to be firm. Dabar Echad the Dor, Vein Shnei Dabor the Dor. Dab is a manik, Rashi says. Dabor. Dabra is a manik. You have to have one person in charge. So the Brisker Rav has in his Sefer HaChumash a comment on this. What is a machlok? Is the Rebbeinu Shalom and Moshe Rabbeinu? The Moshe Rabbeinu thinks that Yeshua ben Nun should prava anivas, and he should, every case that comes up, he should discuss it with all the others. The Rebbeinu Shalom says, don't discuss anything with anybody else. Make all the decisions on your own. That's the machlok is Moshe Rabbeinu and the Rebbeinu Shalom. So the Brisker Rav suggests maybe each one was talking about something else. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about if Shilas will come up, so don't paskin on your own. Discuss it with all the other members of the Sanhedrin, with all the Ziknei Ha'am, and then you'll come up with a proper psak. And the Rebbe Shalom was talking about political decisions, not halachic decisions. Halachic decisions, Moshe Rabbeinu is right. Atot tovo esa'am im ha'am. They should all work on the Shilas together. And the Rebbe Shalom was talking about dabar echad ador, about hanhoge. When you have to come to a final decision on political issues, dabar echad ador. So this is where the buck stops. You have to make a final decision. Don't join together with the others and become batel beroi. You have to make all the decisions.
It sounds like the Gemara there's a machlokes between the two. The Rishkar
was
not saying there's no
machlokes. He says each one is talking about something else. Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about paskin and shaylas, and Baruch Shem was talking about political shaylas. Moshe Rabbeinu is talking about halachic shaylas, Baruch Shalom is talking about political shaylas. Okay. Maybe it's not the pshat. That's what he suggests. Tanam, we have a brisa, zimun b'shloshim. You need three people to have zimun. My zimun. What does it mean in the brisa? In the Mishnah, it doesn't say. What does it mean? Ilema b'chaz ha-zimun, to bench mezumen. That's a machloikis. The Mishnah says in brachas, shlosh, the name of the perek is shlosh locha kachas. What about Shnaim Shachlu? Maybe it's a Rishus, so that's a machlokes in the Gemara. In the first daf in Perek Shlosh Shachlu, well, Shnaim Shachlu Kachas is a Rishus Lezamein, not a Choyva. Shlosho is a Choyva. Chayovim Lezamein. Or should I say, no, Shnaim Shachlu, there isn't even any Zimun at all. So the Gemara has a machlokes, and they come to the conclusion, Shnaim Shachlu Kachas mitzvah lecholik. They don't even have an option of benching Mezumen at all. Each one has to recite the benching on his own. You don't even allow Shemeh Koine. You don't allow one to say the benching, the other one should be Yotze. Mitzvah lechalik, each one has to say his own Birchas HaMazon. When you bench Mezumen, Bizman HaGemara, only one would say, the Mezamen would say the whole Birchas HaMazon till the end, and the others would be Yotze with his Bracha. It was one Birchas HaMazon for the whole Chaburim. But if you have Shnaim Shachlu, there's no Shemeh Koine on Birchas HaMazon. We don't allow Shemeh Koine. We spoke about it. In the end, the Rav Shana quotes the Yerushalmi that there are three exceptions to the rule, but you don't permit Shemeh Koine. One is brachas over food. You're eating the food yourself. You're not asking him to eat the sandwich for you. You're eating the sandwich yourself. You have to say your own hamoitz, and you have to say your own birchas hamazon. How come we have sometimes one person says hamoitz and moitz all the others? It's not based on Shemeh Koine. You need dafke heisebu, the Mishnah says. Only heisebu. Or bizman hazeh, we don't eat beheisebu, so yeshiva didan ke heisebu didu. Tosis says, if they're all sitting around the table, that's equivalent at the table. So if they're all eating bekviyas together, then one recites the hamoitzi for the whole chabura. It's not based on Shemeh Koine. It's not that I'm saying a bracha on you. Let's say, when I say Kiddush, I'm Yotze, and then you're Yotze. Shemeh Koine is considered as if when you say Kiddush in the Chadarach, and one person says Kiddush, 150 people are Yotze, that's Shemeh Koine. considered as if all 150 people said the Kiddush. When you say Hamoitzi, we don't want all 150 people to say Hamoitzi. One is saying Hamoitzi for the whole Chabur. So that's why you need Davke Hesebu. We need Yeshiva Didan Ke Hesebu too. And Bichas HaZimun is also the same thing. When you bench Mezuman, Bidina Di Gemara, only one person says the whole bench, and the others are Yotzei, not for Shemea Koina, but rather the whole Bichas HaMazen B'Chabura. The whole Chabura offers one Bichas HaMazen. So again, you need Hesebu. Same thing, you only bench Mezuman if Hesebu. You only say Hamoitzi, one is Moitzi, all the others if Hesebu. The whole Chabura offers one Hamoitzi, the whole Chabura offers one Bichas HaMazen. So we mentioned, there was machlokes whether Shnayim Shadon the name din or not. So Tosis proves in the Bavli, Shnayim Shadon or Lav Davke, Chad Nami Kosher. So if you hold Shnayim Shadon the name din, Yochid Shadon is also din a din b'riyevi. So the Achranim point out that Yerushalmi is clearly against the Bavli, because Yerushalmi says whether Shnayim Shachlu is a reshus lechala, is a reshus to make a mezuman or not. If you hold Shnayim Shadon the name din, so Shnayim She'ochlu can bench Mezuman. If you hold Shnayim She'dan or Eindin Eindin, so then Shnayim She'ochlu cannot bench Mezuman. What's the connection? What's the connection? So apparently the Rishami thinks that the Dintur is supposed to be a Chabura of Talmid HaChachamim. So the Machloikis is Shnayim She'dan, whether Shnayim is called a Chabura or no Chabura less than three. So Bichas HaMazim a Chabura, that's Zimun. So if you hold Shnayim She'ochlu is a Rishus to bench Mezuman, so two is called a Chabura. So then two is called a Chabura Benigeh to the Benchim. Two is called a Chabura Benigeh to a Din Torah also. And if two is not a Chabura for this, not a Chabura for that. It's a Mechudish Dikki Yerushalmi. It's against the Bavli. Bavli is Beferish, like Tosis pointed out. If you're Shnayim Shadon, the name Din is Lav Dapki. Shnayim Shlosha Ochlu. Echad is also. If Shnayim Shadon is good, so Echad Shadon is also good.
So Kiddush is Shomea Kohanim?
Kiddush and Abdullah is based on Shomea Kohanim, yeah. We always say Shemei Kohanim, but except for the three exceptions are Kriya Shema. Yerushalmi says Yishamim Kabbalah Mach Shemaim yourself. It's not Derech Eretz to rely on Shemei Kohanim. He's going to say Kabbalah Mach Shemaim. I'll be Yotzev with Shemei Kohanim. And Tefillah, if I have a Chayla, I have a Tzarech. I need a Shidduch. I need a Parnasa. I need children. Whatever. So that I should ask the Baruch Shalom myself. I shouldn't rely on someone else. And when you're eating food, you're eating the food yourself. That's the third exception to do. So both the bracha before and after, we wouldn't allow Shemei Kohanim by eating food.
Does that explain the Menhagim to stand for Kiddush? Why that's okay? Because it's not based on the Suda?
That's correct, right. Those who insist you have to sit, it's not Mikra Dim. It's because Kiddush B'makom Suda. So okay, the Suda is going to be B'Shiva, so the Kiddush should be B'Shiva. But it's just as good if you say the Kiddush standing. Also, you could be might see the others even with the Bar Piyah Gofen.
All of them, if you have the same din as Greek as a Muslim, that one should say it on their own after? Wouldn't be among the other people with knowledge?
Yeah, the Gemara says, Eim Zamnim ala Peris. The only time I could be Moitzi someone else is if there's a Zimun. So if you have anything other than bread, then there's no Mezuman, so you can't be Moitzi the other people. So that's the Shaila. How come a lot of times in the Shul, after the Kiddush is over, so one person says Ala Michi out loud, and everybody says Amen, and they're all Yotzei. How is that? We don't allow Shemei Kohen by Ala Michi. There is no Mezuman there. Mezuman is only on Pas. So the Taz talks about that. So the Taz says, what's the alternative? The alternative is, half the people know how to say Ala Michi by heart. The other half don't know how to say it. The half don't know, so half of them will take a Siddur, and the other half will not take a Siddur. They'll just say Bar Nefashis, and they'll walk away. So if the alternative is that they're just not going to say Ala Michi, so then the Gemara says, if two people ate together and there's no mezuman, one is a sefer, one is a boor, one of them is a scholarly, he knows how to say Birchas HaMazon, the other one doesn't know how to say, doesn't know how to read Hebrew, doesn't have a bench, doesn't have a bench, and then we revert back to the din deraisa, namely, menator yisei shemei kaina, even at kriya shema, even at shemone esrei, and even at eating food. It's just a chumer mid the rabbanon that you don't allow shemei kaina by kriya shema and by tefillah and by eating food. So if the one is a seifer, one is a boor, so seifer mvarach a boor yotze b'berchosos, and then we revert back to the din derais. So that's what the Taz says. A lot of times after the Kiddush, a lot of the people will just walk away. They just won't say ala michya. They're mechuyim to say ala michya. So if it's such a situation, then we can revert back to the din derais, so that you do permit shemei kaina even on ala michya, yeah, even on eating food.
Berchos v'shatz. It was Rosh Hashatz, where you said the Ran says that it's that tefillah can't work Shemaya Kohanim.
Right.
So barring the robes, Chiddush, that it's a communal prayer. The ones who hold that Shemaya Kohanim, what are you saying, because of the same reasoning as the Taz, or what would they...
The Gemara says, why did they institute initially? What motivated the Chum to institute Chazaras HaShatz Lo Tishayna Baki? So if there's a person who doesn't know how to daven, that's like benching. So for a boor, so the Seifim Baruch HaBur Yatzibi B'chasa, you have no choice. So we revert back to the Din Derais. So if it's Man HaTanoim, when they instituted the Chazaras HaShatz, Kidei Lo Tishayna Baki, if it's an Ayna Baki, then you revert back to the Din Derais. So that we do permit Shemaya Kaina. Yeah, it's only, that's what the Mishnah Berurah quotes, the Bir Agro, writes like that. That the whole din of the Rishami, that there are three exceptions to the rule, but we don't permit Shema Kaina, Kriyashma, and Tfilo, and eating food, this whole din is only made the Rabbanim. And I tell you, you say Shema Kaina, but there was cases as well. But that's why if it's a big Shas HaTchak, because the guy simply does not have the daven, so then we revert back to the din there, right? So then we allow Shema Kaina.
And would this person, the Shas HaTchak person, have to stand and have to... Saying it, or?
Yeah, that says, and the Rishonim have like that. If I left out Yalav Yovel, let's say, and I'm going to be yotze with the Chazaras HaShatz, Chazan says Yalav Yovel, or I don't know how to daven, I'll be yotze with the Chazaras HaShatz, Ein Baki, then the Hagos Maimon quotes from the Goinim, from the early Rishonim, you have to stand with your feet together. When you have Chazaras HaShatz, that's a chumrah, that you should stand with your feet together. But Mikir Adin, everybody can sit. They don't even have to stand at all. But if I left that Yalav Yovel, or I didn't daven at all, and I'm going to be out to the Chazar Shashatz, then the early Rishonim say you have to stand. Ibn Giyat, they quote that from the Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Giyat. He was the same time as the Rif. His name Rabbeinu Yitzchak Alfasi, his name is Rabbeinu Yitzchak Ibn Geus, they quote. I think the correct pronunciation is Ibn Giyat.
Yeah, I think that the Tosfos in Brachos that talks that says you could be out to Yalav Yovel if I forgot.
Right.
But I'm a Baki, why should I be allowed to do that? I should have to repeat it myself.
Right. So they say because if I daven and I forgot Yalav Yovel, so for this Shmona Esrei I'm an Ein Baki. For Haraya, I forgot Yalav Yovel. So we treat him temporarily as an Ein Baki. Because he already said Shmona Esrei, he forgot.
That's preferable to do.
Yeah, it's better. Why should I say another Shmona Esrei? I should walk up to the Chazan and listen to every word. The Chazan has to say every word. So then it's better to be yotze with his Shema rather than not say another bracha. Yeah.
Even the last of the Taz with the making Kiddush, can one tie that since the whole purpose is you're saying the Pasuk Bekisna is not to be a Suda, some respect the Hainu making Kiddush, can you kind of like it's kind of like a Zuman?
I don't think so. The only Eimazam Nimel Al Apas, Zimun. The only time you can might see others with the benching if you have a Zimun.
So yeah, that's we're saying it's possible because then the Gabi Suda, they ain't Kiddush Alam Makam Suda, so they
eat the Kaddish. I don't think so. I think we assume like the Taz. Rav Soloveitcher used to say this, that when they have a Kiddush, everybody has to say their own alamichya. It's not right that one person says alamichya. So the woman who just died last week, Mrs. Adina Bernstein, her husband was Rabbi Michal Bernstein. Her first husband was a chaplain in the army, and he was killed in an airplane crash. Chaplain Werfel, I think his name was. So her second marriage was this Rabbi Michal Bernstein. He used to teach here in the yeshiva, the smicha students. See, he was a student of Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik. Then Rabbi Moshe Soloveitchik passed away. He was in the first group who studied under Rabbi Yoshe Ber Soloveitchik. When Rabbi Moshe died, he came to the yeshiva in Boston. So this Rabbi Michal Bernstein, when Rabbi Soloveitchik said that you can't say alamichit to be moitzi the others, so he said, but when your father was here in yeshiva, they also had one person say alamichya, and everybody said amen. So Rabbi Soloveitchik stared him in the face, he says, it's not true. What do you mean it's not true? It is true. He was there. He says, it's not correct. I'll be there. It doesn't matter. It's because some of the people are like the Tassa. Some of the people are going to walk away. They're not going to say Alamichya. But it's not true. The halacha is not true. It didn't mean the fact is not true. The guy's saying over what the fact is. The halacha is not correct. Whoever knows how to say Alamichya should say on his own. If there's a chashash that some of the people are going to walk away without saying Alamichya, okay. So that's the soifon and the boor. So the boor says that you allow Shemekah, you revert back to the din deraisa, you do permit Shemekah. So again, so this Yerushalmi is a funny, Shalmi puts together, Shnaim Shadon, whether they name Din is the same shot as Shnaim Shachlu, whether it's a Rishus the zamen or not? Is it a chabur or not? So the Babli also has a little bit about the zimun. They throw in zimun b'shloisha and hazmana to a din Torah is b'shloisha, as if there's a connection. The Babli doesn't hold from the connection. Yeah.
You already said that you can't be yodzi shemayah kohen by tefillah after hazmas of kriya shema. So does tefillah sederach have a din of a tefillah?
Some say that it has a din of tefillah. Yeah. Pashtus says that not. Pashtus says that not. Some say it has a din of tefillah, so every person has to say his own tefillah. So I don't think that's true. Tefillah means the shemana, that's true. Pashtus.
Where's the
chiyuv
of
hagol
now? Is that a tefillah?
Hagomel is a bichas hoidoya. I think HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
So why can't you be able
to
say, I don't know that everyone should say their own?
Not familiar? Don't know. Nachum Otana, it says in the Braise, Zimun b'shloshe. If you're my Zimun, you're lame, b'bichas ha-Zimun, then Shemizumun, you need at least three. The Shnaim Shachlu, there's no Zimun at all. By the time we have a brisa zimun and bichas zimun b'shloisha, it sounds like they're two different things. Zimun is one thing and bichas zimun is another thing. I've chitayim up shat in the brisa is birusha kamaforish my zimun bichas zimun. It's one thing in the brisa zimun and bichas zimun means bichas zimun to bench mezumen. So they're going to say you can't say like that. By the time we have a brisa where it says twice zimun b'shloisha bichas zimun b'shloisha, they're two different things. You can't say on that line. That is Purusha coming for Usha. Why does it say twice Bishloisha Bishloisha? And the my Zimun as Munilidin. When it says Zimun Bishloisha, Bicha Zimun Bishloisha is Mizuman. Zimun Bishloisha means when you give a hazmana to a dinter. So what they have sometimes is somebody wants to have a dinter. So you call up the phone number of the Agudas Arbat. They have a secretary sitting in the office. He says, okay, give me the name of the person against whom you have the dinter, and I'll send him a hazmana. And the guy sits all by himself. So a yochid has no right, even if he's a great scholar, he has no right to send a hazmana. You have to have three dayanim together authorized to send a hazmana. Hazmana to a dindara has to be from the bezdin. Rav Moshe has this in the tshuvas. He said it's not right that the secretary sends out hazmanas. The secretary sends out hazmanas, okay, but first you have to have a bezdin convened. They have to hear that Reuben wants to have a dindara with Shimon. So then the bezdin says, okay, we will send a hazmana. Then they authorize the secretary to send the hazmana, but the secretary, while on his own, has no right to send the hazmana. So that's what the Gemara says: "My zimun hazmuni ledin." You need a bezin to be mazmun ledin. Kihod amar Rava, hani bei klosa daini diyasvi. There's a bezin sitting together. Also, shliach the bei din of amar pumadechad, and the shliach bezin goes and he says, "Rabbi Pliny wants you to appear for a din Torah." So the other fellow doesn't have to come. Hazmana for a din Torah has to be from three. So lo yomaklum, if he says Rabbi Pliny is mazmin yut in Torah not mechuyim, adama mishmei dekul. He has to say there was a bezin of three who were convened, and I was authorized to represent them to ask you to come to it in Torah. Or the secretary can send the hazman in the mail, and he has to say the bezin of three convened, and we demand that you should appear for it in Torah. Then the Gemara adds on, v'hanami the biyo below yom edidina. If it's not Monday or Thursday, if it's Monday or Thursday, everybody in the community knows that Bezdin is sitting together, and the Shlich Bezdin is coming to represent all three. Even though he only mentions one name, he's probably mentioning the most prominent member of the Bezdin, like Rav Nissen Karelitz is Bezdin. Rav Nissen Karelitz is not by himself. There's a Bezdin of three people. Rav Nissen Karelitz is the most important one. I'll be Yomid Adina, Leislam Bo, because everybody knows that all three are together on Monday and Thursday. The bezin sits all day, but the hazmana has to be from the bezin. A lot of but the dinim they don't do like that. The secretary sends out a hazmana, and he wasn't authorized by the bezin to send out the hazmana. So Gemara says that that's not kerei. Pardon me.
So you're not mechuyev to listen to that type of hazmana.
You're not mechuyev.
You're mechuyev to listen to such a hazmana that wasn't actually
offered. You're not mechuyev. He has no right to send such hazmana. You're not mechuyev to listen to it. Correct. Correct. Oh. Okay, let's try to cover the next one. Tashlumei kefil. Sholach le'Rav Nachman Rav Chizal Rav Nachman Bar Yankiv Rabbeinu Rabbeinu Dinik Nosis Bekama. How much of a bezin do you need? So Gemara, my kama boile who anantanan shlosha. It says in Mishnah, ni shlosh. Elo adushaydus yochid mumcha kama boile. We had on the top line of what we have mumcha le'Rav dan afili yichidi. Here the top line on the Hamad Aleph. A din Torah, a din imamid is b'shloisha, but if it's a mumcha l'rab min dan afili yichidi. About a din Torah, rab din iknosis. So you say the same thing, that a mumcha l'rab min can be dan afili yichidi. So the Gemara says, al yachim mumcha kama boloi. Do in din iknosis, alo, do in. do'in. Can he be done? It's Aramaic. Can it be done? Did it knas or not? Amalei, so he responds, the Amora responds to the other one, Dinisu, it's Beferish in the Mishnah. Hashlomi Kev Tamid Dalab Heh is Bishlosha, my Shlosha, huh? What a mean Shlosha? Ilaim Shlosha at Yoitis. No, we know that that's not correct. Am Ravu de Avuch. Your grandfather said the name of Rafila Sarv Henad Yet Psulim Dinikas in each Shlosha Smukum. Elamumcha Kama Shlosha. You see that in each Shlosha Smukum. That top line on Heh Amid Aleph, that Mumcha Laram Dan Afili Yechidi, That's by Hoidos Malvos. That's not by Gzelus Achavos, and it doesn't apply to Dina Knosses. Dina Knosses Mumchal Ram doesn't apply in each Loshes Smuch. Okay, the next Gemara is the first Sugya. The first real Sugya, real, a bit of a complicated Sugya. It's not so hard, but it's just technically it's a little complicated. It's going to be a cheerful Gemara. So I would recommend you should really do first the whole Gemara till Tes Amid Beis, till the line in the middle. Buk Zaytainim. Maisa Barakanzak Buk Zaytainim till Amar Rav Yosef. That's the new Sugya. So do the whole Gemara with Rashi. And then after we'll do the Rashi, the whole Gemara, then we'll go over all the Taisis. Because Rabbi Natam, the Taisis on Amid Aleph and on Amid Beis, Rabbi Natam has a whole different shot in the Gemara. Well, first we'll do the whole Gemara with Rashi. Then to understand the Rabbi Natam, you have to look in the Sefer HaYosha. Maharam Lublin, I think, quotes a little bit from the Sefer HaYosha. But it's kedai to look it up in the original. Okay, we'll start tomorrow, Lena.
What's the story with the Zohar?
Maybe after we'll do the Gemara with the Rashi, we'll have a bus to do the Zohar for the midterm, and then we'll do the Taisis after the midterm. That's the plan. Reisato.